Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching again. We're dealing with kingdom authority. As we look at this, last week we looked at the areas of this subject concerning God giving man authority we had looked at. But then last week we specifically looked in the area of man's authority in the earth. We looked at the Old Testament. And really question the idea of this is because people say, well, man lost his authority. But we found from a scriptural standpoint, man didn't lose his authority in here. What man had lost, man lost the light of God is what he lost when he sinned. And so man began to rule by the flesh. And we found out that the Tower of Babel, people were using their authority, but they were using it really against God and God's plan. That's what they were using it. And God said, as long as they can go ahead and do that, he said, there isn't going to be anything withheld from them. So then we looked at Abraham, and Abraham, who was hooked up with God, and we found out his authority and the fact that God didn't do anything in the earth without discussing it with his guy Abraham. Now, if God would work in that manner in the Old Testament, how much more would he do today with the church, with his children? And, because many times I find people over the years, I've watched people and they talk about like people in the Old Testament as if they had something special. And they didn't. We're the ones with something special. And if they could follow God and have such authority and have so much say in their walk with God that they had, how much more us? I mean, I've always looked at Jacob, and Jacob wrestled with the angel. He wouldn't let alone until he got blessed. You know, God didn't get fed up with him and the angel didn't bless him. He stayed after it and God blessed him. And so we need to understand the use of our authority. One of the things that I really feel is lacking in the earth is something that Kenneth Hagin said in his teachings that he did and his book that he wrote on believers' authority. He made mention of this. He said he thinks we've only touched into just a little bit of this. He said of really understanding what our authority is and where it lies. And I agree with him wholeheartedly. Is that I believe the church hasn't understood much about this subject at all as what they could. And, I don't think there's been as much revelation out there. And this is one of the things that I want to look at this morning, because it's like with me, as I get over into these areas, I've been studying things, and I look at things and I see what some things that are taught today. It's like I was last week, people said man lost his authority. Well, I kept looking at scripture and I'm saying, I can't find that. You know, we can take things that people say, and we're not speaking against people saying that they're not good teachers or they're not good ministers, but there's things we take for granted and pass on from one person to the next. We just sort of, well, somebody teaches something, we believe it, and so then we just pass it on as teaching, as this is the way it is, or that's the way it is. And I've been looking at a number of things over the last few years, and things, in a way, sometimes things have been taught, and I sort of get, you folks have heard me talk about this. If you just keep doing something and keep doing something and keep doing it and it don't work, are you going to just keep doing it? Well, the church does. The church does a lot of things that they say that God, you're doing the will of God, but they've been doing it and it hasn't worked for the church doing it. We're really not getting the effects we should be. Well, I'm just in this thing. I start questioning. I start wondering why. I want to know. You know, the Bible tells us these wonderful conclusions that we're supposed to have. Well, if I'm not having it, then there has to be a reason, or we would have to question God. Well, then if I question God as being the fault, well, then the whole thing of faith in God falls apart. I mean, it's not any good. So if God is right in what he says, then it could very well be maybe we don't know as much about some things as we like to think we do. That's where I come to. There's nothing wrong with not knowing things. Because you'll never run into anybody who does. Now, they might say they don't. They know everything. But they're lying to you. We don't know. And we're limited in our knowledge. And there's the thing that, you've also heard me say. I learned this from the time I started off as a young Christian. There's many things God fulfilled and did for me just because I walked in the level of faith I had. Not because I had the faith to bring to pass what I wanted. He did it for me because I just walked. Like we do to children. Children just do as much as they can and we bless them just like they did the whole thing. Because we're just trying to encourage them. We're trying to encourage them to come and walk more. Come and do something more. And that's what we do. God wants us to get into it more. He don't bless us with the idea that you arrived. And getting that in your minds, because there's people out here that they think they arrived. And they're not bad. They've almost been trained like that. We just keep practicing these things and you just stay where we're at. And I'm just a questioner. If something doesn't seem to be working, and if I'm going to look into it. Because then there must be something I don't know. There's something that's different. And so we want to look at these things. One of the things we want to see with man, the wonder that we have had and a wonderful thing that took place for us is when we got born again, we became children of God. In other words, we came back into the light of things that now we can see that you couldn't see before. See, many times we're looking out here in the world and we're looking at people and how can they do this and that? You need to understand people are in darkness. They don't see truth. You can get as mad as you want at them. You can just think, that's why people say, well, they don't have common sense. How can you be in darkness and have good sense? Why on earth would we be complaining about them not having common sense? What do we expect? We didn't have no sense when we weren't, I wasn't saved. I didn't have a lick of sense. I was doing stuff to kill me. I didn't have good sense. And so we need to understand it. They don't. There's coming to the light of God. In the scriptures, I just want to read to you in Colossians, in the first chapter. This is Paul's writings in Colossians, the first chapter. We're just going to see some things here that the scripture says concerning where we're standing at. Because there's things that we're going to need to understand. And especially I pray for us that we get some light in some areas. Because God wants us to have light and walk in it. In the verse 12 it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. See, our inheritance is in the light. We're partakers with the saints in the light. Hallelujah. So now you are in the light. You're not going to go to the light. We're not coming to the light. We're in the light. And we're in this inheritance. He said, what has he done in verse 13? He has delivered us, it says, from the power of darkness. And actually, that's a wrong translation there. It says, actually, that's the word translated authority. He has delivered us from the authority of darkness. Hallelujah. The authority of darkness. See, darkness ruled over us. It had authority over us. We were blinded in that darkness. He said, and what did he do? He conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And so that's what he took us out. He took us out. We were in darkness. Now he has conveyed us or brought us to the kingdom of light. We're in the kingdom of his dear Son. So you are in the light. Now, the fact that you're in the light, now understand this, you're in the light, it doesn't mean you understand everything you see. It's just like anything, you could take you and put into unfamiliar surroundings, and even though you're in the light, you're not familiar with what's going on naturally around you. You might see things that you didn't know what they were. It's like going to another country. You can go to some countries. I remember first time I went to India, and I was on the streets in India in this one area, and they were out there doing some work on an area, and really, they were using tools and doing things that people did probably 1,000 years ago. And I mean, I'll tell you what, to me, I was watching what they're doing, and I'm thinking, man, they doing it the hard way. This is definitely the hard way, what they're doing. And they were working on things, and I found that a lot. You would go from one thing to they would have modern things, and then right over here, they're doing something so ancient that you would just marvel. I mean, we were down there. They had their rivers and stuff and things, and they build these canals and stuff to transport stuff on barges, you know, over there. They still use that, those a lot in those areas. And so they would take sand and move sand from one area to another for construction areas and stuff and they were doing. And we were watching them, and they have this big barge there. And guys are walking, they're taking sand out, off of a pile out here, and they put them in these little baskets on their head and walk down and dump it in this barge. Now, if you'd see the size of that barge, I mean, but they just have lines of guys, and they're down there doing this, and they're going to fill this barge. Now, when they fill things up, they don't do it like we do. See, that's why we have OSHA, so you don't kill everybody. You know, because, you know, you wouldn't believe what people would do. They would fill these barges with sand, and that barge would sit down in the water. It would only be about this high to where the water was to come over in. Every once in a while, they lose a barge. But, you know, you just do that. I mean, you just fill everything to the full. You just do it. And then they take that barge and tote it down through the river there. You don't want much of a wake or you're gone. They do those kinds of things. And, the things that I watch people do is absolutely the most phenomenal stuff. But see, it's, when you go there, you're looking at things you're trying to figure in your mind. You're not familiar. These things aren't familiar to you in the natural. Well, spiritually, it's the same way. Spiritually, things can be foreign to you. There's things in Revelation, things that God's given me over time. There's things I have seen in the realm of the Spirit, and they're hard to even explain what it is that you saw. It's difficult. You know, we have it in the Scriptures, you know, and we see the prophet talking about Ezekiel, the wheel within the wheel. And we have all these things, and then we have all these people that try to draw pictures of it. And they make it worse. Everybody's pictures. Everybody's idea of what's going on. And so, but there's things you need revelation on. Some things don't need explained a whole bunch because they're not for the standpoint of money. You know, we get on the other side, we're going to get a good glimpse at the stuff that things was talking about, the purpose of them. I think sometimes people ought to pray more before they talk about the things to find out what on earth did I see. It would do some good. Sometimes it's asking God about what you see and what it's doing. But we need revelation. There's no point. We're in the light. Now in the light, we need revelation of what we're seeing and the things, the truth that we're hearing and understanding. See, you can sit and figure out the Bible in your mind and get an idea in your mind what something is. And it might not be that at all. People have done it over the years. They get their ideas. Number one, if you and I are generally going to learn the Bible, what you're going to do is this. We learn from this standpoint. Everybody does it. So that it's no condemnation to nobody. We judge something on the basis of what we already know. So if what happens was we take our knowledge, our limited knowledge in the natural, try to compare it to something in the Bible, and we try to translate it by our natural understanding of the things we know. Well, if you've had quite a bit of revelation in an area, you might be able to pick up some things like that. But if you don't, you might come up with some ideas that are not going to be correct because you're trying to translate the spiritual by the natural. Now, you will find this in Scripture. You will find the principles of the natural are tied to the things of the spiritual. What God created from the spiritual realm. That's why Jesus used, he told parables about things in the natural to explain certain spiritual principles. So you will find things because what we have in the natural came from the spiritual realm. But understand this. You can't see God by looking at nature and know Him. You can see there is a God, but you can't know God looking at the things around you. That's an impossibility. The Bible doesn't teach it. I've heard ministers say this. Well, you know, you look at the things around you because the Bible says, you know, they're created by God. It says, well, over in Romans, the first chapter. It said you can look by creation, they know that there's a God. It didn't say they know God. They just know there is one by creation. And here's one thing. Nobody is going to get away with it with God saying, we didn't know that God created this place. We thought, you know, evolution took place. Because in Romans it tells you that ain't the way it is. They know. It says they know. They just don't want to believe it that way. That's fine. Any man can believe anything he wants. But you can't know God by what's around you and what he's created. You know, just like Henry Ford. Buying a Ford didn't make you know Henry Ford, did it? Well, somehow people think it, like, I always like the knuckleheads, and they are, and just, I'm not being unkind, truthful, knuckleheads. Well, I tell you, my church is out in the woods. I go to the woods. Well, none of them people ever go out there and worship God or do a thing. Biggest liars in the world. My church is the woods. There's a person who's just a complete knucklehead. And they are liars too. Because those people don't want, they do anything else on Sunday to just to stay away from church. I mean, let's get real about it. But those people never go to the woods when they need help about things. And when they wanted to get married, they don't go to the woods. And when they die, they don't go to the woods. Why? Because they're liars. People, you know, get into weird stuff. But you are a child of light. In other words, you're in the light. And in the light, we know from a scriptural standpoint, God wants to reveal stuff to you. That's his desire. He didn't put you in the light to be guessing at what things are, trying to just maybe figure out the best you can. You know, darkness he's talking about here is just spiritual darkness. We were in a place of separation from God. We were separated from God's love. We were unable to understand truth. That's the place that darkness is. That's what the darkness is about. And so man in that condition, but now we're not in that condition. We're born again. Now we're in the light of God. Now we find out with the people, you know, in 2 Corinthians 4, in verses 3 and 4 say this about people in darkness. And I can understand because I was in darkness. I know this is the truth for me from a standpoint. In verse 3 it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The gospel is veiled, but it's not veiled to us. It's veiled to those who are perishing. It said, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So Satan, he's the guy that's always trying to hold people into darkness and not being able to see. Bringing darkness. Well, whether the church understood it or not, I mean, I grew up in a church world that they talked about as if God was always trying to hide stuff from us. You know, we just couldn't know things, and they would always say those. But I know what they were trying. They were trying to make God a big deal. He's really something. But acting like, say, he's so bad, he can't come down here. You know, he saved us, but you know, he can't hang around you, you idiot. You poor moron. Who are you? You think he's going to take his good stuff and show it to you? You know, we're just so unworthy, and we're so this, and they do that. And really, they were trying to come up with some kind of humility, trying to make to God that somehow they were humble, but they weren't being humble at all. They were being stupid. Because what they were, their own teaching, kept them from light. Satan blinded them by false words. They believed in this falseness stuff, this false religion. And see, religion always want to keep you over in the areas of darkness. Anything that doesn't want you to come to light is definitely, that's demonic. It's never good. It's always trying to hold you. You know, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're this or that, the other thing. And we're just men. God saved us. He doesn't really need us. Those kind of terms. As I've said to people, well, God don't really need us. Well, then I wish he'd let me alone. Quit asking me for my money and all this stuff I'm supposed to do and everything. I don't want to. If you don't need me, then go jump. Go do it yourself. Let me alone. See, people don't realize the ridiculous. That's like an employer goes to work and said, I don't need none of you people. You might be out of business, dummy. You might be having a lot of trouble. Everybody leaves because you're so dumb. You know, you don't quite go say that to your employees. Maybe you'd like to see some of them leave, but don't chase them all off. And so we get this idea of God, and God wants his saints to walk in light. He has put us in the light. He wants us to come and walk in this thing. Hallelujah. He wants to reveal things to us. And so man has come into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And really, man is back now in fellowship with God. So God now is man's master. So man can understand. He can see the truth again. Man can have the truth revealed to them. We're in that place. And he says this, we're in this place of total freedom to follow God's plan. See, as a sinner, you couldn't follow God's plan, even though you want to. You want to do right. I know with me, you know, I'd be times saying, you know, you'd want to change what you're doing, but next thing you know, you were just right back in the mess you were doing before, and you just went through those things. But we find out here, we're back in fellowship with God. Now we can follow God's plan. Now that, because of the God's light, we as Christians have His light and also God's power, His authority and power to fulfill the plan of God. That's what we can do. Man couldn't do that before because sin had dominated him. Now, I want us to go over into Ephesians, the first chapter. We're going to look at here, very familiar. You guys know this. It's the prayer in Ephesians and of its importance because we're dealing in the areas of authority. The knowledge of authority is one of the most important things from the areas of you want to walk in faith with God. You're going to have to. Your faith is not going to work any better than you understand your authority. Where you understand authority, I want you to think about it. Really, it sets the limits or the bounds of where you'll walk in and go in your faith. See, like when I say, you know, when I was a kid in church and I said, well, you know, God, He's hiding things from us. He isn't revealing. In other words, He's limiting our authority. He's limiting what we can do. God's setting these bounds. And it's funny, as I got born again and I started learning more about God, I found out, you know, God spreads your bounds, but also the Lord taught me over years of the fact of many things. It's how far you want to go, not how far the bounds that God's setting. I mean, there's some things and subjects or things that God deals with us here in the earth. He has set no bounds. The bounds have been set by man, not by God. How far can I go in trusting God? How far can I go in believing? If all things are possible to him that believes, how far can I go? Well, if there's any limit set, you set that. Man sets the limits. God doesn't. Because if God's setting limits, then all things are not possible to him that believeth. That's wrong. You don't have the authority to cross certain boundaries. See, people got to get over here thinking, we got to watch it. It troubles me, is really from the standpoint of the church and how they talk about things. One of the things is, I remember when I first started off getting born again, you know, Kenneth Hagin was teaching on the areas of grace, and he said, these ministers said to him, you teach people the way you are. They said, you're just giving people a license to sin. He said, people don't need a license to sin. They'll do it. But he thought, you know, that if you teach things too good, that people won't do it right. Well, see, we have that. You know, I believe this very much, that the gospel is much better than we've preached it. We've set boundaries in the gospel because we're afraid people will carry something and go crazy and do something. You're always going to have people do that. But you don't not tell the truth because there's idiots in the crowd. There's always idiots in the crowd. Every group you ever get into, there is going to be extremists that are going to do dumb things. But we don't teach the truth. It's like I've watched this over the years. I've watched people's complaints about the teaching and healing. The reason we don't see a healing and stuff like we do, because healing's taught on such a low level. It's taught on a low level. It's taught on this level. You get sick and then you do what you can to get healed. That's basically what it is. We don't teach. When I came into the kingdom, Kenneth Hagin, I listened to teaching him. He taught about divine health. You see, I used to tell the story. You know, when you were drinking and in a bar, you would go to a bar. I don't know if they still do this today or not in bars, but they used to have the liquor and stuff was in a bar, was set up from the price, from the cheapest price to the most expensive. And they would set it in rows on the back behind the bar, and you just had the mirrors there and glasses and stuff, and it would be back there. So the cheap stuff was on the bottom, and as it got up, and they called it, because if you want to drink top shelf, they called it top shelf. That's where the thing of top shelf came from. It came from bars and drinking. See, I want the top shelf. That meant that's what the bar, if you could afford to drink the good stuff. or you were drinking Thunderbird off the bottom there. This Thunderbird, that was kerosene with coloring in it. So, you know? Well, you just wanted to get something, you know. You just, anyhow, so you bought the cheap stuff, but you wanted to get, you know, and if somebody could afford the goods, oh man, we got a good bottle last night. We can afford the good one. You know, we threw up on our shoes, but we got the good one. I just, well, but see, that was considered, and so they used to call it top shelf. Well, we have today in the church, you can approach God on things in the same manner on certain levels of faith. See, I learned this over the years. There's people that are trying to have divine healing on the bottom shelf, and they're not going to have it in that manner. They want something that's on a higher shelf. You're going to have to meet that level of faith. You know, I learned this years ago in Kenneth Hagin. I picked this stuff up. He was talking about it. He said, do you ever notice there's some people, he said, on faith, and he said, just takes them such a long time to try to get healing. He said, it's like anything. The thing that, just in the natural, using a natural expression, just like something in the natural, if you have a very heavy weight, it's going to require a lot more strength and power to pick up that weight. And many times in the things that we run into in life, I mean, it's like this. If a person can't stand against a cold, they're not going to push cancer. See, what's easy? So, see, I learned this starting off. I learned this principle getting into the light. Okay, I saw that in the light there was healing. I saw the light revealed there's healing. But I wanted to find out about this healing. Now, when I started off in the areas of healing, I started off with things like headache. You know, headache would come, and I'd stand against a headache. And a headache would start to come to me, and I might fight it for hours, maybe a half a day dealing with that to bring that thing under control. And now I could have done this. I could have easily taken a pill and done something to stop it. But I just decided I was, because I listened to what he talked about. You're going to have to learn on this lower level. See, it's the same way with money. It's no different with money. You can't believe God for $100. Forget the $1,000. Forget the $10,000. You can't believe God for it. You can't bring $100 in. You're not going to believe for that. See, everything is in life. It's just like that. You know, if you can't pick up 100 pounds, you're not picking 500 up. It's not happening. In their spirit realm, it's the same way. It's pressure. And he talked about people in healing. He said, sometimes, he said, a person has enough faith to push against something, but over time they'll conquer it, but it'll take them a long time to conquer it. He said, another person will step in that same thing, but they're on a higher level of faith and they'll get that thing quicker. See, it's your faith pushing against that thing. It's your faith working at how much faith. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's learning. It's understanding. See, I learned myself. I learned where I had faith and don't have faith. Most people don't do that. Most people don't. They try the same thing against everything, and they just throw it out there, generally faith. They don't see. Some areas, I found this. I had real faith I could move really good in a certain area. In another area, man, it was work. It was work for me. Faith, you know, faith is nothing general. Faith is always specific for everything. You don't have general, there's nothing like from the standpoint general faith. There's people who got born again, they had faith to be saved. That don't mean they got a lick of faith to be healed, or a lick of faith for a nickel, or a lick of faith for anything else for God to do for them. Everything's specific in when it comes to faith. And what you're believing. Can you believe you receive a certain thing? On what level are you receiving it? See, it's a different thing to go to a doctor to be way well than to just stand and believe God for divine healing without a doctor at all. It's a different, you need to know where you can stand. See, I had people say this, well, God wants you to go to the doctor because he told me to go. Well, God wouldn't tell you not to go to a doctor if it was going to kill you to not go. He was going to send you there. He's got good sense. But I could see they didn't have good sense. So they thought you were always supposed to go to the doctor. Well, they'll always stay in a low level of faith. And there'll be an area of faith where they can. Well, what happens when you go to the doctor and he says, I can't help you? What happens? I know what happens. We call Ed for the funeral. I've had it enough. This is what people run into. They don't realize. They don't know. You got to come to a place where you can stand. You're going to have, hey, if nothing works, I can stand. If nothing in the natural works, there's nothing natural that I can do. It's just me and God. Me and God's enough. That me and God will be enough. See, you want to come to that place. That's a, see, what we're dealing here is a top shelf. See, there, the highest level of faith is not gifts of healing or gifts of this or any kind of gift. The highest level of faith is you believe the Word of God, and you and God's Word are enough to bring it to pass. That's the highest level of faith. That's what Jesus commended the centurion. He said, you just say the word, my servant will be healed. And he said, man, out of all these Jews, the faith people, ain't none of them got faith like you do, and you're a Roman. You're a Gentile and got more faith than anybody I ran into in this entire country of so-called faith people. Ooh. Do you know why that man had such faith? And why we have such weakness today? Because that man understood authority. And the Jews, all they were is like Americans today, just rebellious. Always rebelling against authority. Always criticizing, running down authority. Always doing. What his reply, hey, I got men and I tell them to go do this and they go do it. He understood the structure. So all I need is you just got to tell me and that's it. See, that's the kind of, Rome says to me what they want me to do and I just go do it. I don't rebel against them. So see, I can understand your kingdom. You are in charge of healing. Praise God. Oh yeah. So all you got to do is say these words and it's going to happen because you're the guy in charge of that. See, it's got to become that simple to you and I. That's what healing is. See, I see healing. By His stripes I was healed. There's no question on God's side about my healing. That's already complete. If there's any problems, it's always on Ed's side. Always, always, always on Ed's side. It's never on God's side because God already said His word on the subject. And so I've learned this. If you want to get anywhere and you have a problem, don't rebel against God and keep questioning Him about His problem. Well, Lord, why ain't I healed? Like, what's wrong with you? Why is... That's rebellion against God. That's rebellion against His Word. See, you don't want to do that. See, that's like even you go... Like today, I'm big on the things, if you're going to go to the doctor, you better be in faith. Because the craziest things that are happening to doctors, they're doing... I mean, there's more and more people having serious problems because of going to the doctors. There's craziness out here. You better learn to get in faith. A lot of medical stuff going on out here that's been worse than people's problems. And you need to learn to walk in faith. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can. Hallelujah. I've learned over the years. But I learned it outside and practicing in the small things. See, you're faithful in little, you become ruler over much. Most people want to become rulers over much and we're never really faithful about the little bit. See, it don't work. I had a guy one time, a Rhema graduate. I hadn't even gone to Rhema at the time. And the area is standing in the faith for healing. And this guy here, he's a graduate Rhema. And he said, well, he goes with, you know, like headaches and stuff. He said, I don't bother with that. He said, I just take an aspirin or whatever, you know, a Tylenol. I just take those things. And I just looked at him and I just said, I hope you never end up with cancer. Why? I've learned it over the system. You become faithful in the little. You do the little things. Learn. There's nothing to matter. Don't, you know, it doesn't matter if you can stand, you know, how to do the big stuff. You will, if you start doing the little stuff, you'll end up standing against the big things. I will guarantee you. You will. You'll end up standing against the big stuff. Why? Because you learned through the little ones. You've been faithful learning the little thing. I will guarantee you, you will arise to the place of standing big. That's just the way, that's the system. Is God's system right? It's right and it works. You know, nobody in God's system, you don't stand at the bottom of the steps and reach the top step. It don't happen. You go step by step, and I always watch people jumping steps, and that's a guy busts his shins, you know, and ends up laying down at the bottom, and you got to haul him off in an ambulance, and didn't work. Don't be ashamed. Never be ashamed. If you can't stand in an area place, you don't have to prove anything to anybody else in their things. You stand where you can. You find the place where you can stand. This isn't all in our teaching, but it really does have to do with authority. It's one of the, if somebody listens, if I can get people to listen to my authority and obey me, I can get things for people. I've done it already. I've done it numbers of times for people. If I can get them to listen to my authority. But most people want to have their own, where they can't stand. They can't walk in it. Now, I didn't learn this stuff by myself. I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said if he can get a person to listen to him and listen to what he says, lots of times he can get things for people. But trying to get people to listen, Americans are tough to get to listen to. They're a hard people to deal with. They know so much. They're so darn bright. They come to you and they got a problem, and when you tell them anything about it, they'll say, no, you don't understand. And I always look at them, then why are you coming wasting my time? I just talk blunt to people. I just tell them, why are you coming here wasting my time? If you know what's going wrong, then get out of here. See, the reason you're here is because you're an idiot and won't admit it. That's why you're here. Because what you're doing ain't working. And it never will work as long as you stay stupid. But you gotta tell people, they just keep doing the same thing. Well, you just don't understand. Why would you go to somebody if you figure they didn't understand? What they came for you is agreement on their stupidity. Dear Lord. And if I go along with them, I'm as dumb as they are. It's like, let's not have two stupid people in the crowd. But I'm serious, folks. So you can do things is to help people on what to do is learning. You know, I've learned things. See, I would listen to Kenneth Hagin's tapes and I would follow what he would say on things. I was using him as a counselor on situations. I would turn around and I would have a problem or situation. Right? I remember he talked about certain things on a tape. I'd go get a tape and I'd put it in and I'd listen to that of how he dealt with a certain thing. See, I found out how, and then I would start to practice it. Now, sometime I couldn't practice it on his level. He was above me on that. But I want to tell you this is one thing as I learned. I learned and listened to him over the years. This is what people like to listen to the stories a person tells, but they never listen to what the person did that made the story, the whole thing work and become a good story. They never pay attention to it. And I would listen to what he did spiritually. I would listen to those things. And I found this out. I would take what he would say and I would practice it. I would go as far as quoting and saying the same things he said. Well, if it's God and his work, we're going to find out. Why? See, here's the great brilliance. Here's the brilliance of the church. You're just copying him. Exactly right, I'm copying. He did it and it worked. And I copied him and it worked. And you're stupid and it never works. This is what everybody's trying to find their own path. Dear God, you're going to be out there for years and years and years wandering around and we're going to bury you one day and you're going to be as dumb as you were when you started on the path you were on. We've all learned from people's paths. We've all learned from where people have walked. You know, I came back to my parents. There's things I learned from my father. He didn't know a lot of things spiritually that I understand, but I'll tell you, things that man knew. And I'll tell you what, I know because in his life I saw how it worked. And you know what? It's the right thing to do and it works. So what do? You follow it. You know? You Percy and tell me that there's, if you got a better way, well, show me what the better way is. I want to know what it is, if there's a better one. You know, you got to watch guy out here and he's laying block. Well, the guy who lays, I'm not a block layer. Don't ask me to come and lay your block. I might help carry block to you. I might help there with, you know, getting some concrete over to you. Don't ask me to do the blocks. I've tried a few of those and it's a mess. I'll tell you, it gets ugly quick. You don't want me laying your block. But if you want to find out how to lay block, what do? You go to the guy that lays the block, and if he tells you and say, well, I believe there's a better way, well, then hit the pike. What were you doing there anyhow? But you, if that guy's making it work and he knows how to do it, pay attention to him. If I'm going to learn how to do it, I'm going to learn it from somebody that knows how to do it. I don't want to figure it out on my own. I tried that. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't block you would want to look at. It was one of those things you wanted to parge over. You didn't want to see what was under there. But see, and that's it. This is our Christian life. There's nothing wrong with copying. People say, well, you're just copying. People talk about, well, you just copy somebody else's prayer. If it's the right one and it works, what on earth would everybody in America got to make up their own thing, you know. I want to do my own thing. That's what's wrong with Christianity. It's filled. The church is full of everybody doing their own thing. I find a guy that knows how to do something. He knows a prayer that works. Send it to Ed. I don't mind. If you don't want me to use it, better get a copyright on that thing or I'll beat it. If it works. And see, we need to come to that place. Arrive at that place. We're not ashamed to do it. Somebody else doesn't. Thank God for the people who went before me that learned things. Where on earth would I be today? I wouldn't have near the revelation I have. A lot of the revelation that I receive is because of what people taught me. And my revelation is off of building on their foundation. If it wouldn't have been for their foundation, there's a lot of things that I wouldn't know today. It's because they put a foundation. They did things. And I went and turned around and took their foundation. I took their things. That's why I always mention people when I talk about something. If I learned something about it, I would tell who it is. How did God tell me I shouldn't be telling other people's names? I said, hold it. I ain't taking the credit for what I didn't do. I ain't like the rest of these people. Trying to act like they got smart their way. Yeah. I don't want to travel on their path. That name ain't going on. Thank God, because there's other people have wisdom and was learning that. Now, there's a prayer here, and this is really important. This prayer, and really is getting yourself into the area of needing revelation. When Paul gave this revelation concerning this prayer, it's interesting because, you know, we have in the scripture, especially in the New Testament, there's things that are written. Paul did a number of times, wrote down things about prayer or that he prayed or things that he asked prayer for. So things that we can look at that we know scripturally, it's scriptural to ask for certain things in prayer because the scripture tells us to. There's certain things that we know. And here's a prayer. I don't try to make up a new one. I figure this one's good enough. It was in the Bible and God saw fit it was there. But this prayer is really important because of dealing in the areas of revelation. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 16 says, I do not cease to give thanks you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, understand that. He's asking. Now, isn't this interesting? I mean, we're talking here about a revelation and about understanding, and we're in the light. But Paul's praying for Christians for God to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, we have the Holy Spirit in us. But you know what? A person may not be walking in it. They're not walking and living in that place of a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. I've known many Christians. I'm not quite sure what spirit they walk in. I've never seen so much ignorance concerning the Bible and the things of God and the lack of learning in the Bible. So I realized, sit down, you know, so I can sit and say, look, there's something I need. I need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's what I need. It's not the knowledge of the Bible. It says he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of glory. He's to give to me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of God. You and I want to have that. So it is good to pray that for God. You know, I thank God often for giving me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Giving me that. He's given that to me. Hallelujah. I've asked for that. Therefore, praise God, he's giving that to me. I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I will never talk like you don't get revelation. Like there's God don't want us to know things and he's, you know, not showing stuff. See, I will never talk that stuff. Because it don't do you any good to do this prayer. It would do you no good to pray this prayer and then talk that stuff. People talk it all the time. I've just had a person, you know, talking to me, a Christian. He's a nice Christian person, good man. He wouldn't lie, cheat, or steal from you at all. Really good, nice Christian man. But just very ignorant spiritually about God. And just because, you know, we're just, we're not too bright and he's just wonderful and we're just never going to really amount to a whole lot. And I realize, you know, nice man and everything, but he's really missing it in those areas. He's limited in how far he can go. He's going to be limited. He's going to be always limited in his authority. He had, he was telling me about, because he has a business, and one of his employees, a Christian woman, very young, died, and then another person he knew died. One was killed in a car accident, and I forget what happened to the other one and things. And, well, you know, basically God killed him for some reason, and he had his good thing out of there, and he's sitting in the eye. So he's talking, you know, and that stuff, and I'm thinking, the whole time, you know, I'm thinking about this, I think, what does the world hear about this stuff? You know, God's out in here killing. He's so loving. And he's killing. He's taking mamas away from their kids. And, you know, people are hearing these things. I mean, these are the things of, this is their knowledge. So there's one thing, see, is I know he doesn't have this, a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. I know that he goes to a church that doesn't have this. I know he goes to a church where there's a pastor doesn't have this. Yet he's a teacher, yet the pastor's a teacher in the church. But he won't have this. Man, I'm going to tell you this. If you ain't got this wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, keep your blab mouth shut. Because you're going to be saying things that may cause you more trouble than help. Now, what does he want us to know? He says, this wisdom and revelation unto him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, some translations say the eyes of your heart, which is really, that's where you're understanding. We're not talking about mental. This is not a mental game. This is not a mental thing. It's not who is bright, who is smart mentally. It isn't you getting smart mentally. That's not what it is. It doesn't, I've seen people very spiritually smart and not a whole lot going in the natural realm of understanding on things, but spiritually, they know what they're doing. This is not about naturally being a real genius on things. Now, understand, it says, be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, was it the hope of his calling? The average Christian don't even know what God even has called them to do or what they're supposed to be doing. They don't even know. If you ask them, well, what's your call? What's God specifically put in your life to do and what you're supposed to do? And most Christians say, well, I don't know. I ask him and I just, all this time they don't know. I don't understand that because I knew the first night I was born again that I'd be in a full-time ministry. I got born again and in my heart I knew, you know, see, your own confidence, you need to know this. The average Christian thinks this. That a minister can get more things and get hooked up to God better than they can. Most Christians feel that way. Totally unbiblical, but see, they've set limits on themselves of how far they can go. They have the idea because a person has a certain calling, that there's certain favorings and things. No, everybody gets the same inheritance. It's no different. I didn't get anything better. I don't get better because I'm a minister. I don't get better. I don't get a better opportunity. Now, there is a benefit that I have from this because I use it, not because I'm a minister. I study and do stuff like that. So I may learn more than most people do because they don't take the time to study. They say, well, you got to study because, you know, you're going to preach. I learned this. I was a great studier before I ever became a preacher. I learned to get a hold of things. I learned to become a good studier. See, you got to learn to do that. You're never going to get all the revelation you need from somebody teaching. Never happen. Ain't ever going to take place. It'll never take place. You'll never get enough. You need to learn things. There's things that you need. You know, there's things God needs to speak to you about. And it's about you because he's a person. Everybody says, we have a personal relationship with Jesus. Most Christians, the only relationship they have with Jesus is through the minister. That's the only relationship to God. The minister don't have a relationship with God. They don't even have that. Because all their learning and everything that they do, it's through that minister. That minister He's the guy with the spoon and puts the bib on him and sits here and feeds him and he goes, ah, ah, ah. That's the only thing they get. See, you need to understand growing. You're going to have to learn to eat yourself. See, I learned to eat myself. That's how I end up with questions. Because if I just got and went with who fed me, I'd never have a question about anything. Because that's what you just eat and take. But you end up with questions. But you have an inheritance. You want to know your calling and you want to know what you got. What did you get this inheritance? What's in it? What did you get? You know, somebody got inheritance and got in a business. Well, where I am in this business, am I a partner or what am I in the business? Or maybe, you know, I got an inheritance. You want to know what you got in the thing. So you need to know about inheritance. Now, we know this from Scripture. We got the same inheritance as Jesus Christ himself. We have the exact same inheritance. Well, I'll guarantee you the church probably don't even know half of what Jesus got. We probably don't know a quarter of what it is that's in this inheritance. But the more we know, the more we learn about this inheritance begins to expand the bounds of our authority. Of how far we can go. Where does my authority lie? How far can I reach out and do things? How far? See, we need to know that. Well, here we told us. Here's a prayer. He's praying this for this church. So they know what's the hope of the calling. They know what's in their inheritance. He said what? In this. To know what's the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. What is God's power toward us? What is it? What does that even mean? His power toward us. I mean, did you ever even think about these? I mean, think about the scripture. His power toward us who believe. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. The power toward me is the same as his mighty power. And it says it's toward me. Toward me what? You see, we many times we're reading things and, you know, the wonderful things. Isn't this God's power toward me? What is it? What is it for? I don't know. I just... It's just neat, you know? Just sounds cool. Hallelujah. Now listen, he tells us, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. The same power that's working in the Lord Jesus Christ when God raised him from the dead and seated him in heavenly places is the same power. You have the same resurrection power in you that Jesus Christ has. There is no difference. You're seated in the same seat he is. And that seat is a seat of power. That's the same power. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. I wonder how far our power goes. Wonder how far that is. Huh? See, we don't even know about that. We talk about power, but we don't even know the power. We don't know the power we have. We're walking around with a loaded .357, and I think it's an air rifle. That's the church. We got an era. We're in a search of power. When we have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in a heavenly place, that same power took him from spiritual death to made him King of kings and Lord of lords over all eternity. And we got the same inheritance. See, there's revelation that's far beyond that the Bible says. It's just far beyond where we're looking. The church is trying to get power. See, this is one thing. God's been really dealing with me about a lot of things in this area, which I need to hear. I mean, I need to, because we need to change the way we think. We're trying to get God to do revival like we're waiting for power. We're waiting for things. And if we could only reach this, him to just do this certain thing, and then bango, it's all going to work. But it's just like the areas of faith. I don't walk the faith that the faith that I have. There's nothing for him to do. See, God responds. If it takes faith to please God, in other words, God responds to faith because that's what pleases him. He responds to it. So if we're not operating by faith, or this is it, God's going to only ever respond to you on the level of faith that you respond to him. He'll never go beyond that. He may, like he did when I was a little, when I was a little Christian kid running around, stumbling over stuff, he would respond to me in a greater way, in a measure than I was operating in. It's because I was a baby. But he won't do that anymore. Ed got to tie his own shoes now. If Ed stumbles around because he don't tie his shoes, God don't come tie Ed's shoes. God don't come and do that. God responds to me on the level. So even, but you need to understand this, as we learn new things, we're going to step into areas we're going to be unsure of. It's going to be new to us in faith. He'll respond to us on the level that we step into it. He'll start responding to us. But we're going to have to. It's like I had the Lord tell me specifically, doing something. He said, you know, you used to do that. He said, you ain't going to stand in that level of faith anymore and get that done. You're going to have to step up higher. See, he's always going to expect you. If you want to go to something greater, you're going to have to go higher. You can't go to go there staying where you're at. That's why people, whenever people reach a certain level and they're satisfied there, give them a year, they'll be regressed from that spot. They won't be walking. Right now, I can take you around and I can show you people that I came into the kingdom with. People who grew up, walked in the kingdom, things knew the power of God, and they've gotten away from it today. And I'll tell you what, they're almost like a child spiritually today. They can't get nothing done with their faith. I know people used to walk in areas of divine health and now they can't even get healed going to the doctor. They've so regressed away from things. They get so far away. They just keep, they don't stay up. They quit practicing things. They quit practicing the word. You got to keep practicing the word. It's anything. You know, what's his name? Woods, you know, the golfer. And, you know, when he came in, I remember when he was talking about people said he just has all this natural ability. He is a natural, you know, and all this kind of stuff. This guy would practice 16 hours a day. He said, man, with all this natural, he said, why do I have to practice so much? See, he became proficient at that. He put his time in to be the best at that, and he became the best at that. You're not going to walk where other people walk, not doing. See, when I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach, I don't know why, but I assumed I was going to have to do what he did to go where he went. I don't know why people don't think that today. They think they're just going to sit and listen to somebody else teach it, and then they'll walk there. No, no, I don't care how much you know. Your walk's going to determine how far you go. You take it and put it to work. You know, I could sit in class on block laying, and I could sit and I could even watch films of people laying blocks. But I'll tell you what, I'd never learned to lay blocks till Ed got out there with some guy laying blocks and I would have to start doing it. That's where it'd be learned. Oh, it doesn't mean that stuff didn't help you seeing those things. But I'm going to tell you what, you never beat the guy with experience. It'll never happen. Experience is the thing. And see, what I look for, if you want to learn something, you look for the guy that got experience, not the guy who can tell you information. There's a million guys can tell you information. There's ministers out here, I could line them up from here to Chicago, can tell you about divine healing, but there might be 50 in the crowd that actually know how it works. There'll be 50 in the crowd that have actually walked in it and practiced it and knew how it works. I'm serious. Loads of the big name, big stuff on TV and stuff are all people information givers. And they have to use other people's testimony. Well, this person in my ministry, this and that and this. I'll tell you, I got my own personal testimony. I can tell you how it works. I don't have to tell you what somebody else got. I can tell you how it works. I've done it. I've tripped over it. I've done stupid. I've done it right. I can tell you what not to do. I can tell you what to do. I can tell you those things. You learn. Hey, it's all in learning. It's all in learning. See, don't be afraid to what people call fail. It ain't failing. Everybody learns. You go out here and you messed up at something. If you didn't learn anything from it, then you're the knucklehead. You learn a lesson. You know, I always think about this. See, Thomas Edison said, what, he did 20,000... Was it different experiments to make the, find a filament for a light bulb? And they said, man, did you, all those tests that you did and for nothing? And he said, no, he said, I learned about all those things that don't work. See, that's why he got ahead. The average person, I've watched this over the years, you let them take a couple of shots at the things, the areas of healing, and if it don't work right away for them, they'll quit it. They just quit it. The average one will quit. I was having people come and say, well, you know, that I tried that stuff, it didn't work. I tried it till it worked. And I tried it till it worked. And I tried it till it worked. See, people that don't want it, they're afraid, well, I miss it. What if I do this and I miss it? Get over yourself. The problem is you. Afraid what somebody else might think of you when you miss it. They probably didn't like you before it started anyhow. So it doesn't matter. If they think of it because you do something and miss it, that's everybody. That's all of us. We miss it. See, keep yourself over in that area. My words. You got to keep yourself in line with the way of thinking. Hallelujah. Keep yourself in line with the Word. Hallelujah. The same power. I mean, just see if you keep thinking. You know, the same power that works in me is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's working in me. Hallelujah. You know, when I got up this morning, I didn't feel like any power was working in me. But it doesn't matter. The Bible says it is. The Word's the end of the subject. There's not another thing to discuss on it. My feelings have not a thing to do with any of it. And it doesn't matter how I don't care if I'm throwing up on my shoes in the morning. It don't matter what it says. It doesn't matter. The Bible gave the last answer on the subject. That's what the only thing that matters. The only things that matters is what it said. You see, if I stand there, you know what Jesus says about Ed? I ain't found such faith in London. Just believe in the Word. You want to be one of those and he'll say he hasn't seen such faith? Just believe the Word's enough. The Word's enough for you. If God said it, that settles the subject. There's not another statement. Anybody else says anything else? I don't hear it. God has spoken. Hallelujah. You have the assurity. The Bible tells us, read the first chapter of Hebrews. It tells you have a word that's more sure than the word angels spoke in the Old Testament. It's more sure. Most people, they like the angel books. You know, give me an angel comes and talk to me. We'll take it. With this Jesus stuff, I'm not so sure. This stuff in the Bible, you know, send me an angel. See, the word's sure. But I want to tell you this. A lot of my, serious, there are supernatural experiences that I've had over the years. But you know what? Most of those supernatural experiences came over the heels of me in a troubled situation, and I was standing just on what the Word said, and I wouldn't move off of it. That's why the supernatural thing happened. That's why it took place. Because I just said, that's the Word, I wouldn't move. This is what it says. This is what it is. When I had my heart attack, I mean, that's how you just stand on the Word. It don't matter. Your flesh says, I'm croaking. Your spirit's saying, shut up, you're alive. The inside, the inner man, you're healed in the name of Jesus. Your flesh is saying a whole different story. Your whole flesh is singing a different song. You know, what tune are you listening to? So you're going to name the tune you listen to, because that's the one that's coming out of your mouth. The one you're listening to. You're going to sing that song. Make sure you're singing the right song. Make sure you got your voice in the right place. Hallelujah, that happens. You're seated today, right now, in the realm of the Spirit. Your authority lies in the throne of God itself. And in the throne of God, Jesus is seated there. Is he God? Or maybe he's God second place? I don't know. Maybe God third place. I don't know. Is it? Maybe he's not quite that. But we're seated on the throne with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's throne is such an important place that God turned the running of heaven and earth over to Jesus. You know, God don't run to heaven and earth. Do you know that? Do you know God doesn't dispense anything in this earth except through the name of Jesus? You don't get prayers answered except through the name of Jesus. Jesus said, you can ask the Father anything in my name and he'll do it. The Father doesn't do anything in his name. Can you imagine? And what's crazy about it, God has set you in that place of authority. The same as Jesus. The church in the earth is the same as Jesus in the earth. See, it is so sounds so ridiculous naturally. That's why you can't view this in your brain. Because it just goes tilt. That little light goes on and game over, you know? That's what, I'm serious. I don't try to reason it out or figure. The Bible says so. The Bible says that your base of authority is identical to Jesus Christ, who is seated, whom the Father has made Lord of heaven and earth, and you're sitting on that throne. You're in Him, and He is in God. See, in other words, you can't separate this thing, but boy, the church sure has. They have divided it up. They have tried to figure out how to make us something less. And we ate the pudding. We chose to eat that. They send it to us and tell us, you know. Why? Because naturally, in a natural mind, it doesn't make sense. When we take communion, we're one with God. Jesus is God. I'm one with the blood and the wafer. That's, I'm eating. I am one. I'm in Him. I'm the same as He is. He's made me one with Him. I'm as much a son of God as He is. I have as much inheritance as He has. I mean, just think about that. I mean, it's just, from the natural standpoint, you look and you say, well, how could something be? But the Word says so. So we have this thing is we have to decide. Faith is based upon this. Faith comes by hearing the Word. Is the Word true? Or is my mind wrapped around this thing trying to figure, oh man, this is really sounds sort of crazy. But you know what? I have a choice. I can believe it. I don't need to figure it out to believe it. I can just choose to believe it. And I just choose to believe this, that the Word's right. That's not saying I have all the revelation about this. But I'm going to tell you what, if I don't believe it, I'll never get any revelation from it. By me declaring the Word's true, I set myself up for revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of my understanding are going to be enlightened. Hallelujah. See, you choose to believe. I believe it. I don't have to have mental understanding, but I will tell you this is what will happen. My mind is going to end up getting revelation from my heart. My heart's going to see things, and it's going to let those things dawn on my mind. And my middle mind, it's up there going tilt. All of a sudden, it's going to be the light comes on. Somebody flipped the switch. Oh, my God, I can see. I can see. Ah, wow. He says, and he put all things under His feet. This is under the feet of Jesus. So where is it? Under the feet of the church. And He gave Him to be head over all things of the church. Who's the head over everything? Jesus. Listen, which is His body, the fullness of Him. The fullness. We are His fullness. Jesus has no fullness in this earth without the body. He has no fullness here. The body is His fullness. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. That's the body. That's the church. The church is the fullness of Christ that fills all in all. Now, we could meditate on that for a long time to get a revelation of that. Folks, that's about our authority. See, in the bounds of here. Where does our authority lie at? Where are we at? See, this is why it is to understand. What is our inheritance? What all did we get in this thing? We need a revelation there because these bounds are, and I'll tell you, you ain't going to meet anybody that understands the bounds of this whole thing. Nobody's there. If they say they are, pray for them, maybe they get saved and make it to heaven because they lie. Nobody, I just can't imagine. We're talking about a fullness that has been given by, through Jesus Christ. God gave through Jesus Christ a fullness of an inheritance that God gave His Son to rule heaven and earth. And those boundaries are the boundaries that He set. I just can't see Jesus limited anywhere on anything. I just can't, because it just sort of takes the God out of it. If you think about limitations, it would just take the God out of anything. Now think about Jesus. And we are in that same area. There's no limitations. And see, that's what we have to find out. See, our faith it gets bound into areas of limitations that we have or we set. Things we don't know. And there's nothing, there's things we don't know. We can't step beyond where we don't know. But see, if you don't know that you don't know, you can't go nowhere. See, you come this way, you always want to learn. You always keep yourself out. I need to be able to see further. There's more to this. I need to have faith that goes further. My faith may go to a certain point, but I want my faith to go further. There's things that do with His calling and fulfilling His plan and will that are beyond where I'm at right now. I want to go further. See, this is what I believe in the end times. I believe the end time church is going to step into areas that have never been stepped into before because it's the fulfillment of the end of things. Listen to this, folks. We sit down and people have these little ideas about the Old Testament and we make all these little things. Jesus Christ isn't coming back till, and it tells us in Scripture, the things in the prophets are fulfilled. See, it isn't just about what's said in the New Testament. It's about what's said in the prophets. It says He ain't coming back till that stuff's done. Jesus Christ, until that stuff gets fulfilled and comes in, He'll come back. He's going to settle scores. He's going to do. The fulfillment of that comes out of the prophets, not just the New Testament. The book of Revelation is a lot about the prophets and the things the prophets have said in the past. But there's a lot of things for the church where it speaks of the church in the Old Testament, which speaks of us. These people are running around today and telling you Jesus can come back anytime because everything's been fulfilled. They're the biggest idiots in the crowd. We have had this stuff taught, and this is one of the problems we've had in the church world, is because of a lack of teaching. People have sat down and said, you know, everything's fulfilled. Well, if everything's fulfilled, Jesus would be here. Because the basis of Him taking the church and bringing the things to the end of the age is because everything's fulfilled. What a bunch of knuckleheads. I mean, out of their mouth they're saying one thing, but it doesn't add up. We've had all these books written about the things, and people wrote. They wrote about what they knew, but they act like they talked they had the whole thing figured out. They didn't. Just like we don't. There's nothing else for Ed to do for Jesus to come? Well, then let's go sit down and park. What on earth are we doing? The same preachers want you to send him money. I'm sorry, it's fulfilled. Shut up and go home. They're ridiculous. Not everything in Scripture is fulfilled. If it would be, it would be done. I done read the Bible. I don't know how I would know that it was all fulfilled because I don't know everything yet. I'm still learning. I don't know what these guys, they think they came to the place of now we know it all. Well, I arrived there. I ain't in their car. I don't know where they're riding to or going to, but I don't know it all yet. I still stumble over some things when I do find out. I think, that was so easy. How was I so dumb about that? But we need to know that. This is where we're at here. It's our need for Him. He's God and Ed's not yet. And I ain't ever going to be God. I ain't going to be the creators of heaven and earth. I'm never going to do that. But I have the same inheritance God has. I sit in the same place of authority. And I don't have to be God to have it. All I do is be His son. That's it. And I tell you what, I'm in the place I want to know. I'm interested to find out. But we're one with God. You are one. We're not trying to become that. You are. You're one with God. That's who you are. Today, you're one with God. You're sitting in a place of, really, from our perspective, look like is an unlimited authority. I haven't seen yet. I'm not saying there's not limits to things. There must be, but I can't see that far yet. I haven't seen to the place of all things are possible to Him to believe yet, because my faith ain't reached to all things. I ain't at the all thing yet, okay? And if you are, please pray for me. Good Lord, all things are possible. You know, I found out today there's things that I've learned to believe for that I didn't even know that I was supposed to even ever believe in for. I didn't even know certain things exist. I see places I can put my faith out into where I didn't know. Today, years past, I didn't know to walk in certain things. You don't know. So I didn't even know those things were even possible. I didn't even know you're supposed to believe for. I didn't even know existed. But I know today. Hallelujah. So we're growing and we're getting there. Hallelujah. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to have communion this morning. Hallelujah. And take your communion with joy. This is what God did for us. Hallelujah. You're not waiting to get to be an heir. You're not waiting for it. You are already an heir of God. Already. See, you know, just like with any inheritance, somebody dies and you get an inheritance. That's how it worked. Well, somebody already died. Jesus died. The inheritance we got is because of the death of Jesus. So it's already done and we got it. And our book that we have, this Bible, has a covenant in there. And that covenant really is what they used to call it. And we used to call it, it was Old Testament, New Testament. It's a testament. That's what they used to call years ago when people would go and they would, they would call it a testament. Somebody's gave their last will and testament. You ever hear that term used? Well, that was their, so they would call people in after a person died. We're going to read their last will and testament. And then they would read what that person did or didn't leave you. And people would sit and they would wonder, who's getting what? Who's getting what? This is exciting. Every Christian gets the same thing. All of it. That's why you read the book. That's why you want to read and study. The more you read and study the book, the more you find your inheritance. The more you find out about what you got, what belongs to you, what's yours. The lengths that God has gone to bring blessing into your life and to bless this earth. See, by leaving these things, this is why today we have these things going on in the earth that we have going on today. This is the messes that are going on out here. Because the church hasn't got a clue who they are. There's years ago when I first came in the kingdom, they taught on these kind of things. But they left it. They left to teach on money. They left to teach on all kinds of other stuff. They taught on loads of different kinds of things that didn't amount to a hill of beans. And the church went apart not knowing who they really are. And the big thing to lose about it is like with me, when we see what God has done, it's like grace expands and gets so big. It's like, oh my God, is He ever good? Is His kindness and mercy toward, is it ever incredible what He's done for me? What He's given me? Can you imagine, you know, what we need in the church and we're on this, God's called and made us rulers in this earth. You don't need an election. You don't need to wait to decide what Congress wants to do. See, but the church has. We've been waiting for elections. We've taken the Word of God and turned it into a political mess. Let me read something to you that'll be it's part of a prophecy. I didn't know this morning if I was going to go into some of it or not, probably later on, but I just want to read this to you. This is part of prophecy. Kenneth Hagin's home was going to happen in the last days. The light of God coming concerning the church. This talks about people getting swept into the kingdom. Now this is what he says. This is during this time period, he's talking the end, this move of God. He says, for if two or three of you shall agree on earth in any nation, in any land, regardless of the government, regardless of the opposition, and regardless of the darkness. Now listen to this. He said, if two or three of you in any land. Now God says in any land, two or three. Everybody today wants to get a crowd and we get a million people to pray. If we can do that, we can have a march on Washington. Or if we can do this. Jesus said this concerning the church. If two or three of you, now listen to what he says. If two or three of you on earth in North America, yes, South America, yes, Central America, Asia, Europe, Australia, any nation and of the earth, If two of you shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of them for my Father which is in heaven. For whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, this was written after the things that he talked about, the move of God that he wanted to do in the earth, the things. He said, basically, what this is lined up to, I could go on to read more of it, which lines up with this. But basically, what he's saying in this prophecy, if you want this to happen, if you just get two or three of you will agree. He said, in any nation. Now, I go over and I could teach on binding and loosing and agreeing. See, there's not any limits set on that. The only limits we have set is the church has set. And the church, the first thing they do is when a scripture, well, all things are possible to him with believers. Nah, you can't believe anything. You can't, well, you can't believe for another man's wife. Well, what would you want to do that for when you can have your own? You know, it's just, the whole thing of it is so stupid, right? See, people go right to stupid. The carnal Christian who is a minister goes right to stupid. God promises he opened the door that any great thing could happen. And you can believe for it. If you believe, you can make it happen. You didn't have to get Billy Graham to pray. You know, there's Christians probably think Billy Graham died. Now we can't do certain things. You know, it's somebody special, some special minister who has his special prayer team. Because you ain't that special. But God said you are. God said if two or three of you, he didn't pick the people. He's talking about Christians. The binding and loosing, it's about the believer. That's what all that's about. See, I think we've limited ourselves and the church has limited itself in the glory. We're taking communion and things, but we don't realize the glory. We're seated in heaven. We're taking communion. We're one with God. Wow. You're one with God. And God wants to blow some things up. I mean, for good, not trying to destroy. He wants to blow some things up and change some things and make some wonderful things happen. But the plunger's in our hand. It ain't his. And we just keep asking him to light the stick or push the plunger or do something. And he's waiting for us saying, hey, hold it. You're in charge. I put you in charge. You can do it. You can handle it. You're not a bunch of dummies down here. I put the Holy Ghost in you. You have God inside of you down there. You can take care of this thing. You can do it. God's not a fool. You know, God didn't put the Holy Ghost in his people because he thought they're a bunch of idiots. That's why he's not there, because of that. Hallelujah. He put this in because we're his kids. And he has nothing but the best for his kids. He ain't got something else. He don't have a plan B. He's got the best. Hallelujah. And he put in you and me the best. Hallelujah. He put the mind of God inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, the seeing of the truth is so wonderful. It's so glorious and so great. I just want to thank you, Father, for opening the eyes of our understanding and lightening our heart to your word. I thank you so much for your graciousness and kindness. And Father, we're coming together here today. Father, we're children of God. Hallelujah. We aren't some backslidden people trying to get somewhere. Hallelujah. We've done gotten somewhere. Hallelujah. Father God, you placed in us your great wisdom, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. And he's in there just to reveal the glory and the goodness that all that you've prepared for us, all that's there for us to walk in this day and this time. Hallelujah. Father God, the bounds that you have set are so limitless and so great. Father God, from natural standpoint, it seems incredible. Hallelujah. Why you would take a people. Lord God, especially the earth, as much as people have messed up. But Lord God, you look beyond man's mess-ups. You've looked all past our frailties. You look past all the mistakes and all the things. And you look past all of that stuff and said, man, no, they get all the inheritance that I got. Yeah, they get the same. They get the same. Nothing different. Same glory, it's on me, it's on them. All that I want through my death, burial, and resurrection, it all belongs to them. It's all theirs. Hallelujah. And Lord God, as we take communion today, Father, we approach these things. Lord God, we do it reverently, but with great joy. Hallelujah. To know our place. To know where you've set us, Lord God. Hallelujah. That we're one with our wonderful Master and Savior Jesus. How great it is. And Lord God, you're not looking down on us. You're not following after our mistakes. Lord God, you gave us these words today because you're lifting us up. You're picking us up. Hallelujah. You're standing it up. The word says if we fall, you're able to make us stand. Hallelujah. And you know how to do it. Lord God, you didn't beat us to get us to stand. You showed us the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth made us stand. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.